set up the joke for me. So we're talking about how people are resistant to change.
Well, music is always a good translator to people. It's something we all have in common. So I start just briefly with what's going on now. And then I move quickly to 80s music, the heavy metal, Elvis. All these things are similar to me.
So you're working your way backwards in time.
Going backwards. Mm-hmm. So it's an easier movement, you know. And then we get all the way back to Igor Stravinsky, who's a Russian composer. He wrote The Rite of Spring. Usually you bring up classical music in a comedy club, people automatically shut down. So I specifically say everybody in this room knows it because it was on Bugs Bunny cartoons.
That's how I know classical music. I hear some and I'm like, I know that. That's when Pepe Le Pew was trying to chase down that cat he thought was a skunk.
And that gets a laugh. Now we're all back. There's no more speed bump.
You want to have your mind blown? Igor Stravinsky wrote The Rite of Spring, okay? Debuts it, right? Big to-do. Everybody was there. All the rich white people and their best duds out being seen, you know, at the cool event. And the piece opens with a single bassoon note. It had never been done in music. It was cutting edge. People lost their f***ing minds. Tell me that ain't a woodwind.
There was pushing. There was shoving. There was punching. They couldn't stop it. There was a riot.
And I think your mention of the pantaloons is my favorite part. That always makes me giggle.
That's the funny. To me, what makes me laugh on the inside is I say,
think about it.
Can you imagine coming home?
Classical debut. You got blood in your good wig. You're missing your decorative cane. Your wife looks at you and goes, what the hell happened? Well, the f***er opened with a bassoon. Hell, I had to kill a guy. Any little bit of change we resisted.
Why? Talking about people's resistance to change seemed like a funny idea to you.
This is a good question that I don't know if I can answer. I read an article where – this is what sparked it. I read an article where we have a tremendous amount of proof that when the last ice cap was receding, our ancestors went with it. That fascinated me. I kind of understand it. That's your life. That's what you're used to. It's changing. Why would I not go with it? But then on the other hand, it's freezing. Why? You should have dropped to your knees and thanked whoever you believed in at the time, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what the spark that started this entire thing. Why are we so scared of change? And in comedy, to me, if I think of an idea – or hear an idea for somebody else and it makes me think for a long time, that's what I want to talk about. It's like I have like this bit we're talking about, the Stravinsky bit. A friend of mine who was he went to college as a singer, you know, and I don't know all the words, but he went to college as a singer. He told me about the Igor Stravinsky thing.
I wanted to know how you found out about it. Yeah.
That's how I found out about it. Okay. I was playing around with this idea that humans are afraid of change. I mentioned the metric system and we were resistant to that. And my friend told me about the Igor Stravinsky. I immediately sat in a hotel room with no television on, nothing. Website after website, reading, and I was fascinated. So for weeks I thought about it and took notes and then started playing around with it on stage. The challenge, the mountain of trying to get this idea across to someone clearly and then make them laugh at that idea. And then possibly have to defend that idea. I'm ready.
That's it.
I'm so ready. You know? Yeah. Let's go.
I'm wondering about just this joke in general in terms of the flow of your show. Mm-hmm. This being afraid of change is, I don't know, 10 minutes of your act. It's a significant chunk. When you're working on new bits, are you just going to pull that out like a puzzle piece and stick something else in that part of your show? How does that work for you when you're trying to audition new material?
Because of the CD, my process has changed. It's coming in big waves. I'm collecting stuff over time instead of trying little things at a time.
And you go back to your hotel room and think what worked, what didn't, what do I need to adjust? Is it a constant editing process?
Constantly. Stand-up comedy is a frustrating art form because if you want to be a violinist, you can practice in your living room and get really good, or realize you're not going to get really good, you know, there's something about stand-up comedy. It's got to be done in front of an audience. You have to fail repeatedly in front of an audience. So I am going to talk about The Rite of Spring and Igor Stravinsky. That decision's already been made. Because the audience isn't laughing at it, isn't going to change that decision. It's just going to make me work harder on the bit. And then once it starts working, it's the greatest satisfaction that I've ever felt in my life.
The character that you give to the rioters, what are you imitating? Who is that person?
Yeah, when the bassoon plays and I go into the area where then I get like this. They're rushing, come over here. And I have to say I do it probably for two reasons. One, the huge reason is we all know that guy, especially in this country. We all know that close-minded voice. And that's what I'm trying to portray. And I guess the other reason I chose to do that voice on a smaller is the only accent I can do.
Fair enough.
I can't play a close-minded Frenchman. I just can't do it.
People come up and talk to you at the end of your shows all the time. Does anybody come up to you and say, man, that accent's got to go. That really offended me.
No. Nobody ever has. I've had people that have been offended by incredible things, minute things to me, but nobody's ever been offended by that. Do you think that voice is offensive?
Well, I've heard you describe him as a redneck. I wonder if there are people in the audience who think, like, ooh, that hits a little too close to home and I'm not as ignorant as that character.
Right. This is an interesting area because right now in my current act, I'm building a new act, and I am defining the word redneck. While I'm doing the Igor Stravinsky bit, no one's ever said I'm offended by that. This new bit that I'm working on, where I'm literally breaking down what a redneck is, I have had a few people that have vocally, during the show, gotten upset.
Why do comedy that pushes people's buttons?
Yeah, I think anytime the most common topics in comedy are alcohol and sex. If you're going to go out from that, the further away you get from that bullseye, the more speed bumps you have. Because comedy is an art form that you have to immediately relate. How can I get everybody on the same page? And in comedy, to me, if I think of an idea or hear an idea for somebody else and it makes me think for a long time, that's what I want to talk about. It's obviously interesting to me. And if I can make that funny, now I have a memorable bit. And, you know, and lately, the more and more I'm going down this path, I have to bulletproof it because I'm waiting for the anger to come and the resistance. And I have to know before I do a piece of material on stage, I'm ready to defend this idea.
You talked about this a little bit earlier. But there are people in your crowd who have never heard of Igor Stravinsky, never heard The Rite of Spring.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be the first person to put this on their radar. The cultural gatekeeper, that is Stuart Huff. How do you feel about that?
I never thought about that. But I also like the idea of someone who immediately hates classical music thinking, I'm going to Google that when I get home. And maybe they even press play on The Rite of Spring. That's kind of neat.